You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We've talked about we're in the NFL quiet period after the draft, after the schedule release. Teams are starting to formulate here their offensive schemes, and it's a good time before we get OTAs and minicamp in full swing here for all the league to check in on the offensive coordinator hires. So we've had not only the coordinators in place in a lot of new situations here, but we've also had the personnel, right? So we've known what they're going to do to get the right players on the field to execute their scheme. So now that we have that, it's time for a timely top nine list. Yeah, that's right. We do top nine lists here because it's my favorite number. And it's great from Ferris Bueller and all that good stuff. And it has a nice ring to it. So we'll do a top nine, which is actually a top 10 this week. We will tell you that when we break it down here. But looking at the new offensive coordinator hires and in relation to their immediate impact for fantasy football, also the talent of their teams, that's a factor. The value of the players there, if they don't have a lot of fantasy football assets, we're going to chalk them down a little bit. But we're going to count down. We have a tie for ninth place. So that's why we have 10 names we will mention. Taking certain people out of the equation here, by the way, that we're going to not talk about. Last year, we know we had a great immediate impact. We had Ben Johnson with the Lions. That was a great hire. You had Mike Kafka go to the Giants and really impact Daniel Jones there. Luke Getsky also gets a lot of credit, that Packer style of offense, bringing it to Chicago. Under Matt Eberflus, we saw the big numbers with Justin Fields on the ground. So these new coordinators can have a big impact on existing high level of talent. We know that. So the guys we're taking out of the mix are Matt Nagy, because we know that Andy Reid is still there in Kansas City. You have Tim Kelly, who's pretty much the next guy up in Tennessee as a member of that staff. So they keep promoting within. He's their new offensive coordinator there. You also have Brian Johnson takes over for Shane Steichen in Philadelphia, so you have a new option there, but again, keeping the same things there they promoted in-house. You have also Brian Schottenheimer. He was an analyst for the Cowboys last year, so trying to get more on the page with Mike McCarthy's play calling. That's why they moved on from Kellen Moore. More on Moore a little bit later, and then Mike LaFleur returns to the Rams, so we know Matt LaFleur once was there with Sean McVay. McVay still a big influence of that offense. So we're taking those guys out of the equation. We have now left with 10 guys, so we wanted to get them all mentioned here. So that's why we have a tie for ninth. Let's dive into it right now with the list. The guys tied for ninth are Dave Canales of the Buccaneers. He came over from the Seahawks. He worked with Geno Smith as a quarterback's coach. And you have Jim Bob Cooter. He's back as an offensive coordinator. He's now working for the Colts. So he comes from the Jaguars. So one-time Lions offensive coordinator of note and one of the greatest names in the NFL, in NFL history. But now he's there in Indianapolis. And we know Shane Steichen's also there. So that's why we put Jim Bob Cooter low on this list, because Steichen's influence is going to be pretty high on Anthony Richardson. He is going to be the leader of what they want to do with their offensive play design and get Richardson involved as a dual threat here as he works to win the starting job versus a bridge quarterback, Gardner Minshew. So again, interesting combination they have, but Steichen's influence, again, is a little bit more powerful. That's why we downgrade Jim Bob Cooter a little bit here, because again, he'll have some good takes here for the quarterback. He'll help them get the ball in their hands quickly and do that part of the process. But again, Steichen with Jalen Hurts, the running aspect of the quarterback, he's going to focus a lot on that. So Steichen gets replaced here by one of the guys under him in Johnson in Philadelphia, so they should keep things going there. And now he'll bring his influence to Indianapolis. So again, Jim Bob Cooter, I just don't expect a lot from his scheming necessarily, but I think you'll see this offense run the ball a little bit more effectively, especially with a quarterback involved, should it be Richardson. And that will be something that turns the corner. But in terms of the immediate impact, I think you'll see Little there versus Steichen, and it really depending on if you get Richardson starting in there over Minshew. Now, Dave Canales was tied here with Jim Bob Cooter at number 9. I'm just not high on the Buccaneers, and this is not going to help because we know Canales comes from the Seahawks. They're a run-heavy type offense. I don't know if it's going to be great here with the quarterback situation with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask trying to accomplish the same things they did with Geno Smith last year. And potential is there, but the offensive line took a hit. You're also looking at pivoting more to Rashad White than throwing the ball downfield. So I'm not saying it's going to be too bad, but you could end up being a lot of Chris Godwin possession role type performance here. Mike Evans could see his numbers drop. You could have a little bit of shakiness in the running game with the offensive line taking an additional hit with Donovan Smith being released. So we'll see how it goes here, but I'm not really holding my breath here for big impact for the Buccaneers. It's hard to go in that direction, right? They've been in a great spot here with the Bruce Arians and then Byron Leftwich is protege. Now Leftwich is gone and Arians is not influencing the offense. There's no Tom Brady. So that's how you look at it here. They're rebooting here and it's hard to follow a very good offense. And really Frank Reich in Indianapolis, that was the same case. They had some moments there with their quarterbacks and a running game, which was just a matter of not having a consistent quarterback. With Canales maybe changing the identity of this team a little bit, it's going to be tough with a new quarterback in place. So that's why these two guys are tied for number 9 in terms of new offensive coordinator hire immediate impact in 2023. All right, the next hire is Thomas Brown. Again, Frank Reich is there in Carolina, so he's going to have a big say in what they do. Brown really liked Bryce Young, and he really wanted to get him, so that's going to be great. So he's going to influence the number one overall pick quarterback quite a bit. So Young, he's going to be helped quite a bit by Brown and Reich, and I think Brown coming over from the Rams, he got Reich working with some pretty good quarterbacks and different quarterbacks, including Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck before they got into the Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz mess there in Indianapolis. So again, two good influences there. I think it's going to be a bit balanced here, so I just don't see maybe big offensive numbers around Bryce Young. I think Young could be viable as a QB2 with some upside, but we'll have to see how it plays out with Miles Sanders. If he does indeed catch passes a little bit more, do they treat him as a workhorse? Some question marks there and how they use their three receivers, Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, and Terrace Marshall Jr. So some questions there. I'm not saying I'm not confident about the Panthers, but I think in relation to some of the other offensive coordinator hires, it's more of a transitional, just to get everyone settled and teaching type season here versus scheming for that big production. All right, the last coordinator we'll talk about in this segment is my number 7. That is Bobby Slowick of the Texans. He comes over from the 49ers along with his new head coach, D'Amico Ryans. And look, it's good for CJ Stroud. He's a pocket passer, gets the ball out quickly, rely a lot on the running game. This is good for Damian Pierce to some degree, but we also know we don't get a lot of fantasy impact from the quarterback in these situations, more facilitating. And we're not quite sure also where they're going to go in the passing game consistently. You have some options. They do like Tank Dell as a playmaker to watch, but he's a rookie. You also have Robert Woods, the veteran. What are they going to get out of him here in this situation? I think you'll see more work to Dalton Schultz, the tight end, the new free agent addition there. So, look, he'll have a good impact. I just think having a rookie quarterback in the same case with Jim Bob Cooter, with Richardson, Brown, with Young, Slowick, with Stroud, I think there's a little bit of capped production performance there that's going to be there. So I think you look at Slowick, I think this 49ers style of offense will be nice. Again, it'll particularly help Damian Pierce in the running game and the zone blocking that comes with it, especially still having Laremy Tunsil up front. So those impacts will be there, but I think it'll be slow, no pun intended, to get CJ Stroud to put it all together in a complicated but very quarterback favorable system. All right, we still need to look at the top 6 coordinator hires. That covers now the bottom 3/4 with a tie at 9th. There we will get to all those hires. So counting down all the way to number 1 among those hires, a lot of big names and some teams flopping players and coaches. So we'll see how that plays out for them here in 2023. If you haven't tried Built Bar, you got to. You're looking for a delicious snack, but don't want all the sugar and calories, then you need to try the best tasting protein bar ever. That's right, it's Built. You got to try these. And if you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, This is just the thing for you, because Built Bars, Built Puffs are healthy and taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing, you won't think they're good for you. You got to try them now if you haven't. What makes Built Bars and Puffs so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And you can count on unbelievable flavors all across the board. Churro, peanut butter, brownie, cookies and cream, just to name a few. I'm not sure how Built does this, but these bars taste like candy bars while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better, that they're healthy for you, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein you'll find in a bar. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built bars at Built.com only, but now you can get them right down the street at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. While you can still get those specialty flavors you like when they come out at Built.com. That's right, if you head to your nearest Walmart today, you can walk to the pharmacy and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate. You can get those in bars or the classic coconut puff. If you're close to Sam's Club, make sure that you get a 13-bar box to get your Built Bar fix in there. They have great puffs available as part of their hit flavors, brownie batter puff and churro puff. You can thank me later, but you'll be excited however you get your Built Bars, whether at Built.com, at Walmart, or Sam's Club, to have them ready. And it's a good time. It's the summer, we're doing more activities, being outside. You want a protein bar that's going to be reliable and tastes great. And nothing more amazing there than Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built.com and your local Walmart and Sam's Club. All right, it's time to continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. And we'll count down all the way to the number one offensive coordinator hire in terms of immediate impact for fantasy. These are the best things we're looking for in short term to improve the production chances of the skill players there. We are up to number six. This is Bill O'Brien of the Patriots. He has that solid two tight end system. And we know they added a Penn State tight end. That's where O'Brien used to coach, Mike Gesicki. He joins Hunter Henry. They move on from Jonu Smith, who is not getting the job done for them and not being able to stay on the field. So maybe more 12 personnel here to help Mac Jones. I think it's needed. They need to shake things up, maybe get better in the blocking game here. And having these two guys are very good there. Gesicki, not much of a blocker, but Hunter Henry, very reliable in that area. So it's a good complementary combination here of blockers. So Brian can definitely have an impact on Mac Jones and the running game. So probably pretty good for him at QB, and Ramondre Stevenson running back. Wide receivers, not so much. I think they could curb those guys' routes and production a little bit more, given the limitations of that position beyond Juju Smith-Schuster. So, again, some innovations will be there. They're going to help Mac Jones. They're going to help the running game. And pretty decent impact, but again, we don't have too much higher to go. I think Stevenson is already a lead feature-type back with his production. Anyway, Jones is still going to look at a QB2. So we're limiting the impact there of O'Brien. I think he'll more stabilize the veteran offense here, that young veteran, I should say, there with Mac Jones having a few seasons under his belt, and kind of work on that, clean things up, be more efficient, but not necessarily going to translate into big fantasy numbers just like we saw with the previous three teams on this list. Now, Joe Lombardi comes in fifth. He goes from the Chargers, where he was let go after a season of disappointment there. A lot of injuries really held back the Chargers offense last year more than maybe anything else, but the Saints reunion happens in Denver with Lombardi joining Sean Payton, his former head coach. So trying to install a lot of the Payton tendencies here. That means running the ball pretty well, getting good usage of the tight end, stretching the field with a particular player. That's why they got Marvin Mims, having some depth at wide receiver to have versatile sets inside and outside. And again, having, you know, the pop at tight end, it's going to come down to Greg Dulcich and the former Saint Adam Trautman. What can they do there? But Joe Lombardi, again, I thought he was pretty decent for the Chargers. I just think they could have been a little bit more explosive. And what he brings, however, to Russell Wilson and this offense is just clean things up. And that's sometimes the guy you need. We're going to be more rhythmic about your passing, get the ball out quickly, use your dump offs to Javonte Williams. Hopefully he's healthy for this offense to have a big impact here. So I think definitely that's a takeaway. Joe Lombardi's always been very effective on the backs there and their production, especially in the passing game. So that's good for not only Javonte Williams, if he can return healthy at full speed here, as we expect, but also Samaje Perine, who's good in those capacities here for the Broncos. So I think you'll see a little bit more short to intermediate passing, get the ball out of hands of Russell Wilson. He's been holding it too long, taking the sacks. They need to change his mentality a little bit. If Wilson's going to have a much better season, I think he would probably listen a little bit more given how disastrous it was with Nathaniel Hackett last year. So That's why we're putting Joe Lombardi there. He's going to try to clean things up, but a lot of it is based on what Wilson is willing to compromise there and handle in the new scheme. All right, at number four among the new offensive coordinator hires, so these are just guys that weren't in-house promotions or guys that are not necessarily going to have a big impact calling plays, we have to call it for Eric Bieniemy. Now, he wanted to leave the Kansas City Chiefs because he just wasn't getting a chance to call plays. We saw that with Mike Kafka. He was the quarterback's coach. Then he transitioned to the Giants last year and he got that opportunity. Bieniemy is looking for the same opportunity because Andy Reid is in charge there. So we'll see if Matt Nagy gets another chance out of Kansas City now, taking over the OC role. But Bieniemy wanted to spread his wings a little bit. Ended up in a pretty good situation here as the Commanders parted ways with Scott Turner. So more West Coast to philosophies here that are tied to getting the ball to quarterback's hands, getting it into the receiver's hands out of the backfield. That's Antonio Gibson working a little bit more. Bieniemy is a former running back at the University of Colorado, who's a pretty good star there. So he's going to focus a lot on the running backs, get those guys right, find the right way to use the combination of Gibson and Brian Robinson Jr. He's going to be whispering Sam Howell a little bit, get that connection revved up between his clear-cut go-to guy, Terry McLaurin. It's how peppered him with targets late last year. So Bieniemy's going to have an impact. He's just going to say, look, here's the talent on the field. Here are our strengths. We're going to tap into those and really help out the running backs be very effective in dual threat roles here. So I expect the Commanders' offense to also have to throw quite a bit. They're in a division with the Eagles and Giants and Cowboys. They're going to put up some points in this division. So that's going to be also good news here. So Bieniemy comes in as the number four most impactful offensive coordinator hire in 2023. We got three more to talk about. We'll get to those in the last segment. Thanks again for making Lockdown Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Subscribe and follow for free wherever you get your podcasts. We're part of Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day, your fantasy football team every day. And yeah, we're breaking down things here, and we'll be with you all offseason long. We'll have this series of top nine lists. We'll have that continue. Then eventually we'll look at all 32 teams, answer the three core questions we have related to fantasy football for all of them. So looking forward to that, doing that again. Last year we had a lot of success with it. So breaking down, giving a complete looking team, a different way to preview all these teams. So we'll do that as we get closer to training camp here on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, it is time to close the show and look at the top three offensive coordinator hires overall here in terms of what they can bring to a team in terms of fantasy football production that we're looking for. That's ultimately what we want, the better stats all around in the passing and running games. Nathaniel Hackett did that just by his presence. It was not very pretty in Denver, but we know that he gets results with Aaron Rodgers, and they're reunited with the Jets. It was clear that that move was made to make sure that Rodgers would want to be traded to the Jets. So Hackett and Rodgers reunited again, and it feels so good. So I really trust Hackett again, working with Rodgers, a good history there. I just don't think Hackett and Wilson saw eye to eye at all. The Broncos, that's why they did replace him and go with Lombardi, even as the head coach. And maybe the head coaching role was a bit complicated. Here, Hackett doesn't have to do that. He can work under Robert Saleh there, who's taking care of the bigger picture type things here for the Jets. So that's good news for Hackett. He can just focus on his offensive scheming and really take advantage of that. So I look at Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, points their arrow up here with Aaron Rodgers. Let's hope both of those guys are fully healthy here. Corey Davis has a little bit of relevance. I think he'll make good use of Randall Cobb. They'll figure out the backfield well with what they have now. So love that they have Zonovan Knight and Michael Carter, but got a little bit of help there as well in the draft. So really looking at the Jets having a very impactful offensive season. Again, they had nowhere to go but up from the Zach Wilson disaster from last year. And Mike LaFleur also didn't fit well there. So LaFleur, Matt's brother, ends up back in Los Angeles. Hackett goes here. So really good news here for the Rodgers' overall production initially in New York. All right, two more. Only two more have greater potential impact than Nathaniel Hackett. One is Todd Monken of the Ravens. They were getting a little bit stale with that Greg Roman type of offense. It was great for a while in Lamar Jackson's early part of his career, but they got to protect him a little bit better. And they're also going to create better running lanes for him. So you're expecting a spread attack here. That's why they added so many wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr., Nelson Agholor, a first-round pick on Zay Flowers, adding them to Rashad Bateman here, James Proche, and all these other guys that are still on the roster for them. So Ravens loading up at receiver. That's going to maybe signal they're going to go away from these two tight end sets a lot with Mark Andrews and open it up in a 11 personnel with three wide receivers. So maybe the Ravens are just looking just like these other teams that got run heavy that, okay, we need to open up the offense. We have a quarterback that still has a pretty strong arm. If we spread it out, we'll also create some external and internal running lanes here for Lamar Jackson. So it's going to help him for sure because they'll have a running game that can run against weaker fronts that are not going to be able to stack the box there and not be able to spy Lamar Jackson as easily, especially if you have J.K. Dobbins lining with him in the backfield. They have pretty good weapons, we know, beyond Andrews. And we talked about their additions in Flowers and Beckham and Aguilar, but how about, again, going out and saying, okay, Monken, we're going to use these receivers a little bit better and have Rashad Bateman play better. So I like that for sure. I think the Ravens will open things up. There's a higher upside for Jackson as a runner and a passer now that he's locked and loaded with his long-term contract. So love the hire of Todd Monken. He's innovative. He's going to get the job done with different styles of offense. He's going to adjust very well to defenses. So love the hire of Monken. Only one more was better than that, and yes, it was literally one more. It is Kel Moore, number one offensive coordinator hire here in 2023. Why do I like Kel Moore so much? Well, look at the numbers that he had with Dak Prescott. He was big time when he was healthy there in this offense. He's going to open things up. He's going to be great influence on Austin Eckler like he was on Tony Pollard last year. You're going to have Justin Herbert feel more confident to push the ball downfield and just be aggressive as a passer and runner in general. So that's good about Kel Moore. I think Moore sometimes didn't sit well with Mike McCarthy because they wanted to be a little bit more conservative, protect their defense. But Moore's going to attack. We know the numbers can be there in the passing and the running games. He's one of the smarter young offensive minds still in this league. I think it's an upgrade from Joe Lombardi, or getting that hire for this team. So I'm really excited to hear what Kel Moore can do because, again, Herbert, Dak Prescott, you can just ask him the great influence that Moore had on him. You have Eckler. I think he's going to make good use of the new receiver, Quentin Johnston. They're out of TCU. So Moore's just all over it. Again, open things up. That's what you're going to get from Monken and Moore. That's why they're the top two. That's what you want to see. Offenses that had some potential, like the Ravens there and the Chargers, but now streamlined a little bit, explosive plays, those type of things, you'll see those come in bunches a little bit more. And I think you'll get also the balance where you can get big plays in the running game as well as the passing game. So love these two hires. The M's have it. Todd Monken, Kellen Moore as your two best new offensive coordinator hires in 2023, rounding out this list. So going back down it, we have Dade Canales of the Buccaneers, Jim Bob Cooter of the Colts. They tied for ninth place here. Number eight was Thomas Brown, working under Frank Reich and the Panthers. You have Bobby Slowick taking over that 49ers style of offense for the Texans at number seven. Bill O'Brien comes in at number six with his two tight end concepts returning to New England. Then you have Joe Lombardi trying to be the Russell Wilson whisperer with Sean Payton at number five. Eric Bieniemy getting a chance to call plays with some pretty good offensive talent led by Antonio Gibson at number four for the Commanders. Number three, Nathaniel Hackett in the Aaron Rodgers era for the Jets. Number two, Todd Monken taking over to try to add more explosiveness to the Ravens offense. And finally, Kellen Moore just trying to get better use out of Justin Herbert with high volume here in 2023. So there you have it. There's a look at the nine offensive coordinator hires that we like the most, counting down. So pretty much covered all of them that were qualified for this list here. But yeah, we went through really 10 names and what you can expect from all these offenses as well, which is the most important thing when we look at it overall in fantasy football. What are you going to get? What does it mean for some of the players that are there? And we'll find out more and more as these installs go through in OTAs and minicamps. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend, and we'll check you out with another top nine list on Monday. Be safe, everyone.